It's time for Marshall Wealth Radio with Mike Marshall. Mike specializes in servicing his clients' overall financial needs, including asset management, retirement planning, estate planning, and insurance planning. And now, your host of Marshall Wealth Radio, Rod Fritz.
Hello, and welcome to Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz. Sitting next to me is Mike Marshall. He is the CEO and the founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And we're here every week on WRKO. And Mike, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Thank you, Rod. It's great to be here at RKO.
It's always a pleasure to be with you because, you know, we have such an information-packed program here and lots of things that people will be interested in, especially upcoming workshops, which we'll get to in just a moment. But I wanted to go back a little bit here, Mike, and talk about how the news is affecting what you do.
Well, there's a lot of negative comments, negative fears in the news right now. And, you know, we were about 1 point away from a bear market just about a week and a half ago. So these stock markets continue to be extremely volatile. And, you know, people are starting to call the office a little bit and ask, you know, geez, Mike, I know we talked about long term and I know we talked about, you know, asset allocation and staying diversified and whatnot, but it's getting a little scary out there for me.
Oh, I would think so. And not only that, the Fed has upped the interest rates, and I understand the chairman, Mr. Powell, has talked about that.
Yeah, he Chairman Powell did make some comments on rates last week. He indicated that basically that 50-point basis hikes were in the mix potentially, but that 75-point basis hikes were not. And I think that calmed the markets a little bit and, you know, allowed the market a little breathing room. You know, they figure that they've got some time to maybe rebuild. But the raising of the rates is not going to help the market. What the market wants to know is what is in mind at the Fed. What are they thinking about doing? Because the market doesn't like the unknown. The market likes predictability, and there has been very, very little predictability in the markets, in the economies, because of things like supply chain woes, the Russian-Ukraine war, interest rates rising. I mean, there's so many things going on. But I do have a few thoughts for those of you out there that are, you know, concerned. I wouldn't say you're ready to pack it in. But let's just go over a few thoughts that I have in terms of what you can do to maybe feel a little bit better.
Yeah, okay? I would like that because I would like to feel better because I was in the store this past week, and I have to tell you, it's scary when you go in there and find this item is up 17%. This item is up 28%.
Right.
This item is up 7%, you know, it depends on which item you're looking at, obviously.
No doubt. And it's all being reflected in the volatility in the markets because these companies are having difficulty producing and selling product. So if you are an investor that, you know, geez, what can I do? I mean, how can I feel better? The extreme volatility is really due to the news, okay? People are affected by chaotic headlines, a lot of uncertainty. And they get fearful, and that leads to them selling. But ask yourself, has my situation changed from my original objective?
Exactly. Has it or not?
Exactly. And if it hasn't, then basically you want to stay the course, okay?
Yeah, you're not saying bite the bullet, though, but you're saying just to stay the course.
I'm saying stay the course. And, you know, the one thing that you could do proactively is add to your portfolio. But a lot of retirees don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
But the younger folks, when they go through these market, it's not quite a bear market, okay? It's a 1% off, and we still may end up in a bear. By the way, a bear market, 20% off of its former high is the definition of a bear market.
I want to talk more about a bear market later on.
We are. We're going to do half a segment on bear markets.
Okay.
Because it's something to be reckoned with, especially for those of us that are in retirement or approaching retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Now, the war, okay, you have some more things here to talk about to kind of ease the pain.
Right. So the first one was, has my situation changed? The second is, am I able to add to my investments? stay the course. Okay, this volatility that we're having now, it's not uncommon. If you look back, and we'll talk more about the volatility when we talk about bear markets, you're going to look back and see that these bear markets are not that uncommon.
Okay.
And the only thing that is different is if you're drawing income from your nest egg and you're also experiencing the falling markets, so lower account values, that's a very uneasy situation because the combination of distributing income, taking income on a monthly basis, and a falling stock market will damage your nest egg sometimes beyond repair.
Wow.
It is scary. Yeah. And so investors and specifically those, and I keep going back to those folks that are either approaching retirement or just entering or have just started their retirement, those are the folks we want to talk to. Those are the ones that need the most guidance and the most advice.
And to talk to Mike, you can call him at 857-342-1030. That's 857-342-1030. Also, reach out to Mike on his website, which is marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, marshallwealth.com. He also has a Facebook page, and that is Marshall Wealth Management. There's a little like a magnifying glass or something on the Facebook pages, and says that allows you to search if you want to search anything. And you just type in Marshall Wealth Management, and his Facebook page will pop up, and you can contact Mike any one of those ways, either through the telephone number, the website, or on Facebook. You know, we're still talking about some of the news that's out there. And before we get to the supply chain woes, I want to skip ahead here to the war in Ukraine.
Okay.
Because Ukraine had a pretty darn good economy.
Yeah, they did.
Before the Russians invaded. As a matter of fact, I believe, according to this story that I'm reading here, that the Ukrainian economy has now shrunk by 45% this year.
Yeah, and it's probably going to shrink some more. The head of the World Bank basically made a comment that the economies in the region are very, very stressed, obviously, under the current circumstances. And not just the economies, really the humanitarian crisis that's going on is staggering. I mean, it's delivering a massive blow to Ukraine's economy and its infrastructure. This all, something that goes along with war, obviously.
Right.
But it's not something that will be fixed overnight. There's already plans in place from the World Bank to help fund some of the reconstruction and some of the poverty that's been created because of the Russian invasion. Well, By the way, the World Bank.
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
It's a bank of the world. No, I know the name.
Right.
But I really don't know what they do.
It's interesting because I've always heard, the World Bank, Well, what are they? Well, they're really just an international development organization, and the bank is owned by 187 different countries, all right? And basically, its primary role is to reduce poverty by lending money to governments of its poorer members and to improve their economies and to improve their overall standard of living. So when you get a situation like Ukraine that's just screaming out for the World Bank's help, they're right there. And like I said, it's a collaborated effort of 187 countries. And it was really started way back in 44 to help repair the economies of Europe and Asia after World War II. So they've been around a long time.
Well, it's funny. I'm looking here. I just checked when you mentioned the World Bank. The World Bank group is supporting the people of Ukraine right now. As a matter of fact, since the start of the invasion by Russia on February the 24th, the bank group has mobilized an emergency financing package. Are you ready? $925 million in support for Ukraine.
That's a big number. That's a big number, but I think they're going to need a lot more. I really do.
Yeah, I think they are too. And I think the other thing we talk about, the exports and the imports that Ukraine has not been able to do since the Russian invasion, Russia and Ukraine account for about 40% of wheat imports in the region itself, just in that region, 75% or more in Central Asia and elsewhere.
Yes. Supply chain woes will continue globally, I think, for another 2 to 3 years. And yeah, it's just my opinion. But, I mean, you've got a country like India now, okay? Mm-hmm. So India is a big exporter of wheat. So they were basically expected to step up because Russia is holding back wheat. And Ukraine, they can't – they produce 40% of the region's wheat. But India has now decided that they're not going to export any wheat. They're going to keep all of the wheat for their people because they are predicting a massive wheat shortage globally.
Wow.
So, I mean, the news doesn't get a lot better, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know what that's going to do? That's going to hit the supply chain on everything that's made with wheat.
It's like a chain.
Yeah, exactly.
One link affects the whole thing. And
right.
Now we've got more than one link. We've got like 170 different industries that are adversely affected by the supply chain woes.
Yeah.
Everything from, I mean, the newest one, baby formula.
Right. Baby
formula. I mean, can you imagine? I heard the other day that the people are starting to water down the formula to make it last. And doctors have come out and said that is not a good idea.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a
because
good
idea. Because basically what you're doing is you're starving the baby of the nutrients that are in the formula at those levels. And once you water it down, they're just not as potent.
Right,
and it
exactly.
makes sense if you think about it.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But did you ever think that the United States of America would experience a formula shortage?
I sure didn't.
I mean, really. And it's not just formula. It's all kinds of commodities, electronics, vehicles, appliances, gas.
Oh.
And don't forget about our favorite, wine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I always manage to find a bottle of wine somewhere.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten to the point where we need to be taking anybody else's wine.
But I think that $9 wine now costs me
$15. There you go.
Yeah, it's something.
Inflation.
You know, before we take a break here, I want to mention here, Mike, that you have a workshop coming up. And it's important that folks know about it because they can register. It's going to be on Wednesday, June 1st at 20 this year, Wednesday, June 1st, a workshop on taxes and retirement. And also you'll be discussing Social Security at this workshop?
Yes, we will. We'll be focusing mostly on taxes and retirement,
uh-huh.
You know, creating and designing a tax-efficient distribution plan during retirement.
Uh-huh.
Because let's face it, with all the different resources that people have, what they don't have is an automatic tax-efficient plan. So we want to take those resources and turn them into a tax-efficient plan. But we're also going to discuss Social Security.
Yeah.
And how Social Security needs to act as that third leg on the income stool.
And you're going to have two of them on June 1st, one at 11 a.m. and one at 6 p.m. And it's going to be held at the Marabou Spa in Plymouth.
Yes.
Marabou Spa in Plymouth, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Workshops by Marshall Wealth Management. Call Mike at 857-342-1030. To register for the upcoming workshop, either at 11 a.m. or at 6 p.m. And you can also register on his website at marshallwealth.com. Now, we'll talk more about the workshops coming up, and we'll talk more about a lot of other things that Mike has on his mind that he wants to tell you when we return on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of trust and accountability. Marshall Wealth Management provides asset management, retirement income planning, Social Security evaluation, estate planning, and tax accounting. As our headlines change, our planning changes. Challenging times demand solid, smart, and up-to-date planning. Create your Marshall Plan today. Visit MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. Or call Mike Marshall directly at 857-342-1030. 857-342-1030. Okay, we're back on Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz here with Mike Marshall. He's the CEO and the founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And before the break, Mike, we talked a little bit, but not much, and this is why I want to get into it a little bit more, is the bear market. And you know, I've heard of bear markets and bull markets.
Right. Bull market, obviously bullish.
Yeah.
Up. Bear market, down.
Down. Right. Okay. All right. So how many bear markets have we had that you can remember?
Well, first of all,
I mean, I know you're a young guy and the stock market's been around a long time.
Well, I can give you the statistics regardless. But basically, just for the listener, a bear market is a fall of 20% or more off its previous high. Very simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you take an index like the most popular would be the S&P 500. And once that falls 20% off of its high, or the NASDAQ or the Dow or whatever index you're measuring, the index is in a bear market. Now, okay, bear markets, what about them? Well, first of all, they occur about historically once every 3.5 years.
All right? Really?
Yeah. And they last about a year. Okay. 12 months. Right.
Right.
So if you have a 20-year retirement and there's a bear market every 3.5 years, pretty good chance you're going to experience 5 bear markets on average during the lifespan of your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, what do we do? How do we deal with them? They're going to happen. We know they're coming, but we want to be prepared, right?
Yes.
And that's,
what do we do?
Well, first of all, you got to call Marshall Wealth Management.
Absolutely. And you can do that by 857-342-1030 and speak with Mike.
That's right.
Absolutely.
But seriously, folks, there have been 26 bear markets since 1928, which is the beginning of the market, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the average decline, just the average decline is 36%. So if you had $1 million in the S&P 500, and it fell 36%, you now have $640,000.
Right, but that's during, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's during a bear market, correct?
That is one of the examples of a bear market.
Okay.
Is when it falls on average 36%. So if you look at, just for an example, okay?
Okay.
If you take the beginning of COVID in March of 2020.
Yeah.
When it hit the market fell 34% in 33 days. So my point is, if you had $1 million on March 1st in the S&P, a month later you had 660,000. It fell 34%.
Right.
People who are in retirement drawing off of their nest egg, they cannot afford to deal with that kind of nonsense.
No, not at all.
But guess what? Sometimes they're dealing with it because they haven't done any transition planning. They haven't transitioned their portfolio or their nest egg from the accumulation phase, which is a growth phase, to the distribution and protection phase, which happens when you retire.
So what you're saying, Mike, is that even during a bear market, with proper planning, you can manage some of the risk here.
Yeah, you can withstand the bear market, right? The key is to get through the bear market with as little amount of damage as possible.
Correct.
Right? So that's where the guidance and the design comes in, where in terms of we don't just operate under normal conditions. During a bear market, we're constantly making adjustments and alterations to our clients' tax-efficient income stream.
Okay. Very good. And that's very important, isn't it?
Yeah, these bear markets will keep you up at night, big time.
And as you said, they're not going to go away even, 7, 8, 9 years from now, because they repeat themselves.
Yeah, it's just the way the stock market works. And believe it or not, as bad as bear markets are for people in retirement or approaching retirement, they're almost as good for young folks who are saving for retirement, because the bear markets allows their 401k and other deposits that they put in monthly or weekly to purchase more shares at lower prices. So those bear markets really do have a positive effect on some people, but not retirees and not people close to retirement.
Now,
that's for sure.
Are we in a bear market right now?
We are 1% away from a bear market.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
we're 1% away, and we are, I mean, whether or not we fall into a bear market isn't really the point. The point is whether we're down 19% or 20%, it's a terrible market for people right now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so people need to be making adjustments. They need to be finding out what their options are to make their money last through these bear markets.
And you can do that by contacting Marshall Wealth Management. And contact Mike Marshall at 857-342-1030. Also online on the web. He has a beautiful website, MarshallWealth.com. Marshall with two L's, MarshallWealth.com. Also on Facebook. And I know this is a little bit different, but perhaps at your upcoming workshop on June the 1st at Maribou Spa in Plymouth, because you are going to be talking taxes and retirement.
Yes, we will.
And retirement during a bear market, there's some interesting stuff there that you need to plan for. It's like you need to change something before it becomes something that isn't good.
Yeah, it's common sense if you think about it, because it's like, you know, if you were driving into a storm and you knew the storm was coming, you wouldn't make an adjustment to maybe drive around that bad storm?
Right.
That's all we're doing.
Or like road work ahead in the road. We were talking going to the GPS again.
There's the GPS, right?
Exactly.
Let us be your financial GPS.
That's right. Let Mike Marshall and Marshall Wealth Management be your financial GPS. By the way, folks, I do want you to know June 1st, the website that I mentioned on taxes and retirement, there's two of them on the very same day, one at 11 a.m., one at 6 p.m.
Doubleheader.
Yeah, doubleheader. Very good. It's a doubleheader. There'll be no rainouts. So you can sign up. It's very easy to sign up on the website, by the way. You can sign up. And the website is MarshallWealth.com. You can also call and register over the phone at 857-342-1030. Again, this is at the Maribou Spa in Plymouth on June the 1st.
Correct. 11 a.m., 6 p.m.
11 a.m. and 6 p.m.
I'm pitching both events.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there, but I don't know if there's ever been a pitcher that pitched both games, started both games of a doubleheader in the history of Major League Baseball.
No, that wouldn't be prudent at all.
Well, you know, back in the late 1800s, the early 1900s, it's possible, but I don't know. I'm getting off track here, and I'm sorry about that.
If you were ambidextrous, you could do it, right?
I suppose you could.
Sure.
But who would want to? That's the question. All right, we have the tip of the week that's going to be coming up, and we're not going to do it right now, but we do have a very interesting tip of the week for you, and it has to do with your financial advisor. And I do believe, Mike, you're a financial advisor.
I am, and not only am I a financial advisor, I am a fiduciary advisor.
All right, we'll get to the tip of the week coming up, okay? I wanted to talk for a second here. We have a few more minutes here. Can we go to the difference here? I mean, some people have a defined benefit plan, which I believe is also called a pension.
Correct.
Right. And there's other people who have a defined contribution plan.
Right.
Which and what's that? What's a defined contribution plan?
That would be a 401k, a 403b. Some people have a 457b or a SEP account or a solo K. Any of those would be considered defined contribution because the benefit is yet to be determined. It depends on the contribution level, whereby if you look at a defined benefit plan, a defined benefit plan is a pension which is designed to last you a lifetime.
Right.
And the defined contribution plan is not designed to last you a lifetime.
And there aren't too many pensions
no.
out there anymore.
You bring up a great point, and I've got to tell you, this is something that I have been talking about for the last 10 years. And basically, it is corporate America's move away from saving and investing for their employees, for their benefit, for retirement. So if you think about it, Rod, a defined benefit plan, a pension, what happens is that the company puts away the money for you.
Right. Okay? Yes, exactly.
They decide how much needs to be calculated to be deposited. Then they put it in. They make the contribution. They also decide how to invest it and how to manage it for your entire career. Then,
so you don't have to do any thinking on that at all.
That's my point. They're doing everything for you right. with a pension.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's like forced savings. It's not an option. If you're in a union that has a pension, you're in it.
Right.
Okay? Whereas if you went to work with a company that had a 401k prior to just recently with the new SECURE Act, you didn't have to sign up for it. You didn't have to sign up for a retirement plan. Think about how obnoxious that is. How are you going to retire if you don't sign up for your retirement
because
plan?
Because it's tough, and I know some people do it, it's tough to retire on Social Security alone. It's almost impossible.
It is impossible, okay, Rod. Yeah, it's impossible, yeah, you know. And so you have to understand that they shifted the onus from the corporations to the individuals, okay? And so not only did they... Once they put the money in for you, they invested it and managed it for you. And then when you really retire, they would calculate the amount that they could pay you for the rest of your life. They figured out how much they could send you away for income. So they did it from A to Z, okay? Think about the defined right. contribution plan.
Yeah.
You yourself are responsible for deposits. You yourself are responsible for picking an investment strategy and then managing and rebalancing that strategy for 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible knowing when to go from a risky portfolio to an income portfolio as you get closer to retirement. And then you have to figure out how much money you would be able to send yourself from your nest egg, your 401k nest egg, to make it last a lifetime.
Now, can folks who have retired on the defined contribution plan, a.k.a. like a, most common is the 401,
right?
Right, the 401k.
Right.
And now I forgot what the question was that I was going to ask you. Has that ever happened to you where all of a sudden, you know, you're going to ask a question and you forget what to ask?
That's a busy mind.
Oh, good. Okay, thanks.
That's what that is.
So, no, I remember now. Okay. So the question is, once I retire and I have this 401k, can I continue to put money in it?
You can only add to it if you have income. And at that point, if you're not with the same company, say you retired and rolled that into an IRA.
Okay.
If you had earned income, you could add to your IRA. Mm-hmm. But you have to have earned income in order to make a contribution to a defined contribution.
But plan. I can change how the investment is.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Which is where you come in.
Right. So we guide folks all the time on that transition from employment to retirement and what needs to take place with their nest egg for 401k pension, et cetera, along the way.
Okay. All right. Do we have we pretty much covered that, do you think?
I could go on for two more days, but.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here, Mike. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about taxes on mutual funds versus individual stocks. I want to know what this VIX index is and also the tip of the week. All coming back on WRKO on Marshall Wealth Radio. Listening to Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO, and I'm Rod Fritz. Along with Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management, we've been discussing a lot of financial topics here today on the program on Marshall Wealth Radio. And if you have any questions, contact Mike at 857-342-1030. or on the web. His website is marshallwealth.com. He also has a Facebook page. He also has a workshop coming up. Two workshops on the same day. That'll be June 1st. It's a Wednesday, by the way. June 1st at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. The workshop will involve taxes and retirement. Very, very important. Also, he'll talk a little bit and discuss with you things involving Social Security. It's going to be at the Marabout Spa in Plymouth. And to register for the workshop with Mike Marshall, you can do so online at marshallwealth.com, or you can call him at 857-342-1030. Say you want to go to the workshop, you'll have two choices, one at 11 a.m., one at 6 p.m.
This will be our first time, by the way, at Mirabeau.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
very.
Mirabeau is supposed to be a very, very nice place.
It is. It is. I have not been there, but I am told by people who have been mm-hmm. there that they love it.
I'm looking forward to it.
They love it. All right, so here, Mike, let's talk about the tip of the week. People have been waiting at the edge of their seats, wondering what the tip of the week is going to be. And the tip of the week has to do with a fiduciary advisor.
That's right.
As compared to a financial advisor, or are they one of the same thing?
A financial advisor doesn't necessarily mean he's a or she is a fiduciary advisor.
Ah.
So about 5 years ago, there was a push on to make advisors fiduciary advisors. And what a fiduciary is, a fiduciary financial advisor has an obligation to make financial decisions and recommendations that are in their client's best interest. Well, that's a novel idea, isn't it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they had to actually make a law for this, right? Unbelievable.
So there are some, crazy companies out there that think that they want to make business for themselves and not for their clients.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of folks out there that are doing, informational campaigns and providing advice to people that are really not qualified, and they're not fiduciary advisors. So I think one of the first things you need to do if you're talking to someone about your nest egg or your financial future is ask them if they are a fiduciary advisor.
Okay.
And the next thing you need to do, you need to go check them out online
mm-hmm.
by going to www.brokercheck.com. That's www.brokercheck.com.
Brokercheck.com.
Okay. Yes, what a great website for the public to be able to check out the record and the reputation of the folks they're dealing with. Not only that, check out their experience.
Oh, very interesting.
I mean, we've been doing this for 30 years. We must be doing something right. I do believe that we have been adhering to the fiduciary standard from day one, even though that wasn't necessarily, mandated. And to me, that experience matters, especially in these kinds of markets because they're so irrational.
Okay.
So check us out, and that includes me.
Right. Yeah.
Check me out.
Yeah. Check them out at
BrokerCheck.com. That's right. That's very important.
You can also get some great information at MarshallWealth.com.
Yes, you can. So my tip of the week is to make sure that whoever you're working with is a fiduciary. And second half, go on BrokerCheck.com and check them out.
Right. And where can I find a fiduciary financial advisor? Only at BrokerCheck.com?
No, they are not the same. BrokerCheck just gives you the information on how long the person has been in the industry.
Oh, okay.
Okay, if they have any infractions against them or any complaints against them, you'll see it listed there. But it's basically to protect the investment public. And it's kind of sad that we need, to have this fiduciary rule implied, and then also to have broker check, but it's reality. There's bad people in every industry, Rod.
Oh, I can hear you there.
Yeah. So be safe rather than sorry. And just if you're going to entrust this person or people to manage and help you manage your life savings, boy, you might want to make sure that they're on the same page as you.
Okay. And so the tip of the week, as Mike says, is we are going to make sure that your financial advisor is a fiduciary advisor. That's the tip of the week.
Yes, it is.
From Marshall Wealth Management on Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO. And if you got a question, give Mike a call at 857-342-1030. Check him out online, marshallwealth.com. Also on Facebook, he has a Facebook page, which is Marshall Wealth Management. You can search for it, and you'll find it'll pop right up. All right, continuing here on Marshall Wealth Radio. Mike, let's talk a little bit about taxes on mutual funds versus individual stocks, okay?
Major difference.
To me, a tax is a tax.
No, there's no question. A tax is a tax, but you want to avoid them and keep them at a minimum at all costs,
well,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. So how taxes on mutual funds work and the different ways that are out there to cut those tax bills?
Well, first of all, I get calls from people. They'll say to me, you know, geez, Mike, I got a 1099 div from my mutual fund company, but I didn't sell any shares or anything. And I said, I understand that, but the dividends and the capital gains that occurred during the course of the year need to be distributed by mutual fund companies at the end of the year. Hmm. So whether you're getting interest, dividends, or capital gains, the fund company has to send you out a 1099, and they do the same to the government so that the government knows that you've got to report this income.
Yeah, every time I get a 1099, I get scared because I say to myself, did Uncle Sam get that 1099 too? Because if Uncle Sam didn't get that 1099 and I got the 1099,
right,
then I can maybe hide something.
No, you don't want to hide. You're better off being up front, especially when it comes to the IRS, obviously.
Well, for sure. The IRS is a wonderful organization.
Right. Now, I'm talking about taxes on taxable investments, not retirement accounts, not 401ks, not IRAs, because all of that income, dividends, interest, and capital gain is held inside the account and not taxed as long as there's no withdrawals. I'm talking about regular brokerage accounts, 529s, any kind of an investment in a non-qualified mutual fund account.
Okay. So is it a big difference in the taxes on mutual funds versus the taxes on, say, someone who just has individual stocks?
Yes. Okay. Yes. The differences are huge. And I'm getting to that point where, you know, the other way that you'll end up paying taxes on your mutual funds, not just annually, as you get gifted or awarded dividends, interest, and capital gains, you will also get taxed when you sell the funds and take the money, because if there's been a gain, that's a gain that's taxable to you as well. So with a mutual fund, you really got to look at the net return on these things, because you've got the taxes, then you've got the fund expenses. Fund expenses can range anywhere from 0.50 to 1.50 if it's a fund that invests in overseas. So they tend to be a little bit more expensive, but there's a lot of fees and a lot of taxes with the average mutual fund versus individual stocks. The only thing you're going to do is pay taxes on the dividends. If you're not selling the position, you're not paying any taxes. So the yield, that's interest. You'll pay taxes on that.
Uh-huh.
You'll pay taxes on declared dividends on a stock, but you will not pay any fund expenses or stock expenses, so to speak, because it's that kind of an investment. You just own the shares of the stock. You don't own a mutual fund that's being run by a manager who's requiring fees. When you own the individual stock, you're on your own.
Right.
And so they're much, much less expensive. But they're also more volatile. So what we recommend usually is a combination of mutual funds and stocks, specifically mutual funds in the tax-deferred accounts or the pre-tax accounts like the 401ks. So that way there you're not feeling the effect of it because it's all deferred taxes.
Now, are there ways that an investor can minimize taxes? I'm sure there are. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this.
Yes.
Right now, this segment.
Exactly. So, of course, there are different capital gains rates, too. So, if you own the fund for less than a year, you would have to pay short-term capital gain.
Oh, okay. Okay? Yeah.
And that short-term capital gain rate is going to be higher than the long-term capital gain rate. The long-term capital gain rate is applied if you hold for more than 1 year and you sell after that.
So the best advice then is to hang on and wait as long as you can before you sell.
At least 1 year.
Yeah.
Because you really shouldn't be buying mutual funds of any kind of aggressiveness or growth if you're not going to be in there at least a year anyway.
Okay.
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 Again, there you go. Buy mutual fund shares through the IRA, and that's going to be the other way that we get to save on some of that stuff. Okay.
Well, okay, good.
The taxes and the fees eat up the return, Rod. And that's what we're trying to prevent.
Now, are there ways that I can find out what kinds of investments the fund is making?
Yes, absolutely. The fund has a online. Well, first of all, they have they have to send you a prospectus.
Okay.
Okay. And the prospectus has the rules and guidelines for the fund, the objective of the fund. And then you can easily find out what holdings your fund contains by going online. So, yes, you can research it, but you really have no control. The control of that fund and the management of the fund is in the hands of the fund manager himself. Mm. So you might look at the holdings and say, man, we should sell that stock, but you have no influence.
Right. So, you can't.
Yeah.
It's up to them.
Yeah. And so fund expenses and fees are a huge part of knocking down your return.
Okay. What's a tax loss harvesting?
Well, a lot of times you will not have gains throughout your entire portfolio. You may have a couple of positions in there that you didn't do well. You might have some losses. So tax loss harvesting is simply selling some shares of something you've lost money on to offset the gain of the shares you want to sell. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to lock in profit, you might also want to think about locking in some losses to offset it.
You know, the other thing another way to minimize the tax on mutual funds is to seek a professional.
No doubt.
And you are a professional.
But I am not a tax professional.
Right.
So those are the guys we hire.
Right.
So we have a very capable CPA in our firm. He has a master's in taxation, and he's available to work with our clients on his as-needed basis.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. 857-342-1030, the number to reach Mike Marshall and Marshall Wealth Management. 857-342-1030. Also online, marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, marshallwealth.com. Stay with us here on WRKO. We've got much more to talk about on Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of trust and accountability. Marshall Wealth Management provides asset management, retirement income planning, Social Security evaluation, estate planning, and tax accounting. As our headlines change, our planning changes. Challenging times demand solid, smart, and up-to-date planning. Create your Marshall Plan today. Visit MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. Or call Mike Marshall directly at 857-342-1030. 857-342-1030. And here we are on Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz with Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. He has a phone number. You can reach him of any item that you've heard on the program here. 857-342-1030. Also on the web at marshallwealth.com. And a Facebook page, which is under Marshall Wealth Management. on Facebook. It's an interesting Facebook page, by the way. A lot of the stuff that we discuss here is on that Facebook page.
Yes, it is.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about here with you, because this is like really strange for me, and you had to explain what these letters meant to me before we started the program today. But we're talking about the VIX index, right?
Right.
Now, what is CBOE?
That stands for the Chicago Board of Options Exchange. And so the VIX, commonly known as the VIX,
right?
It's the volatility index. Okay? It was basically a real-time index that represents the market's expectations for relative strength of near-term prices, basically with the S&P. So it's kind of all based on the S&P.
Okay.
And it's based off the S&P index options, the SPX. All right. So they give us like a 30-day forward projection of volatility. Volatility basically just meaning how fast prices are going to change. And it's seen as a way to gauge market sentiment, especially in a degree of fear. So it's a fear-monger index is what it is.
Oh, that's terrific.
And obviously, you know, with anything, the more volatile the market is, the higher the VIX is, okay? So the VIX itself was created by the Chicago Board of Exchange, and it's actually maintained by the CBOE Global Markets, and it actually represents an important index in the world of trading because it provides a quantifiable measure of the market risk and investor sentiment.
So people can actually use the VIX to determine, you know, like their level of risk or well, how can you level stress?
No, it's not really for an individual. The VIX is simply determining the risk of the overall market based on the S&P 500 futures. That's okay. All it is. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it's been around since 1993, I believe, and it's globally recognized as a gauge of the U.S. equity markets.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's calculated in real time as well.
Oh, and well, what does that mean? I mean, what's not calculated in real time?
Right. Everything is instant today, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Brutal.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so does this VIX index help?
Yeah, people? What it does is it guides people in terms of the level of volatilities. But, you know, right now it's obviously a volatile market, right? I mean, the magnitude of the price movements in the indexes in the last 6 months has been dramatic.
Yeah, I'd say it's volatile because we discussed we're 1% away from a bear market earlier.
Right, and you know, we have dipped into bear market territory several times, but then come out of it. So we're not in a sustained bear market, but we're knocking on the door. That's for sure.
And this is pretty easy to follow, then.
Well, it's not easy to calculate. What it is easy to do is to go online and just say, what is the VIX trading at? And so you get an idea of the volatility level based on the number of the VIX. So if the market is extremely volatile, the VIX goes up. If it's very, very conservative and very mediocre, then the VIX goes down.
I like that. What is the VIX trading at?
That's it.
And we're not talking about the stuff that you rub on your chest.
No.
It's spelled different.
It's the index is
VIX.
What it is.
VIX, yeah. Interesting. Okay, so we've discussed a lot of things here on Marshall Wealth Radio today, Mike. But one thing that we didn't go into a whole lot of detail about, we've mentioned it quite a bit, but I want to go into a little more detail about a workshop that you have coming up.
Yes.
And that's on June 1st. It's a Wednesday, by the way, if you're checking your phone. Wednesday, June 1st at 11 a.m., and then another one at 6 p.m.
Correct.
And this workshop will be held at the Maribo Spa in Plymouth. By the way, I noticed on Route 3, as you're heading south towards the Cape and you're going through Plymouth, you know they have a sign that says Maribo Spa to take the exit?
They
to
do.
To get off? Yeah,
yeah,
they do.
Pine Hills. They have like basically their own exit.
Yeah, know? Well, that's, yes.
There's a lot of people down there.
Oh, yes,
they
indeed.
Sure are.
Now, what are you going to talk about at the workshop?
We have several items that we're going to be covering, and it's an educational and informational session was what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we go over a lot of different things that are phenomenal in terms of how would they apply to your situation. So the workshops can be generic in nature, but then what we do is we offer consultations to help apply those principles to a client's situation. And I've found that it's amazing after 30 years, but it's like everyone's situation is completely unique. You know, nobody has the exact same set of issues, goals, objectives, desires, and fears. Everybody is different. And so what we do is we listen, and we listen to the feedback that we're getting from clients about their situation. And from that, you know, experience of deep listening, we can understand where they're coming from and hopefully design a solution to their financial situation.
Now, we've already gone by April the 15th, which is a traditional tax day, mm-hmm. although it was a little bit later this year because of Patriots Day here in Massachusetts. But I know you're going to be talking about taxes.
Taxes and retirement. We're going to be talking about bear markets. We're going to be talking about the Secure Act.
The Secure Act. You want to recap what the Secure Act is?
Yes. The Secure Act is setting every community up for retirement enhancement. And it was passed in 2019. This is the second revision of the act. And this one packs a little more punch than the first one.
Hmm.
For example, we talked a little bit earlier about the defined benefit plan, the pension versus the defined contribution, right?
Correct, which is a traditional 401k or
right.
several other, yeah. but most people have the 401.
Yeah. Exactly. And so the onus now is on the American worker and the employee to do all the saving. Well, the Secure Act 2.0 that just passed mandates that companies enroll employees in the plan without their approval. And I like it because it's forced savings. It's forcing you to set up a retirement plan for yourself. Now, the bad part is they can go and opt out. But initially, they are automatically enrolled.
So basically what you're saying is the employer is forced under the Secure Act 2.0
mm-hmm.
to require an employee to open up a 401k, correct?
That's correct.
Now, and if most people, I think, realize that 401k, the contribution comes from can come from the company.
It can. You can have a matching contribution.
And a matching contribution
right.
from what the company is putting in. But what you're saying, I think, just a moment ago, was the even though you are forced to enter into this 401k, the company can opt out of their contribution down the road?
No, the contribution or the matching contribution wouldn't have anything to do with the ability. They're not opting out, so you could opt out of the plan. So they're going to sign you up day one for
right.
the 401k.
Correct, yeah.
And if they have a match, you'd be wise to at least deposit what they're putting in so
yes.
you can max out 100% of the
right.
match. Now, I don't know why you would ever want to stop that, but you can opt out of the 401k because they cannot force you to enter the plan upon hiring and stay in the plan. They've got to give you that option to opt out.
Okay.
And I think it's crazy why anyone would opt out of saving for retirement. But you know what? People get in tough situations and they, you know, they struggle and they've got to make ends meet and they've got to make some really hard decisions. And if you're in that situation, I would just pray that you, you know, you get through your situation and then start adding to the plan again. Do not opt out of the plan. Keep
right.
the plan. You can always have it inactive for a while, but keep the plan.
So for the younger folks who are listening to us now,
mm-hmm.
or the parents of your children who may be working,
yep.
Mom and dad, if you're listening and your son or your daughter has a job, they've already probably had to enroll in something like this. Now, am I right in assuming here that the money that you contribute and the money that the company, that goes in tax-free? In other words, it doesn't come out of your payroll tax?
It goes in pre-tax.
Pre-tax,
yes.
Yeah, that's what I meant,
yeah.
pre-tax.
So an example would be if you made $40,000 and you put $5,000 in your 401k, the federal government would only tax you like you made $35,000.
Yeah. Which, if you're a young person, is pretty important.
It's important, especially as your income grows, because deferring the taxes on some of that income is key to making that money grow. And the more you can defer taxes and keep that tax profit in the account as opposed to paying it out. It's a benefit.
Yeah. Okay. And you'll discuss this at the workshop.
Yeah,
we're
going to do a complete update on the second version of the Secure Act at the workshops. And you know, one of the things that they've talked about now, the Secure Act originally went from the RMD, which I've talked about this, the required minimum distribution, that went from 70.5 to 72 with the first version of the Secure Act.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, now, version 2.0, they're going to increase the age for RMDs. In 2023, it'll be 73. And then 2030, it's going up to 74. And then by 2033, you won't have to take any money out of your pre-tax accounts until age 75.
Wow. That's good.
So it's all in an effort to let people catch up and also to defer the taxes a little bit longer.
Okay. So Marshall Wealth Management, Mike Marshall's the CEO. They're going to have a workshop Wednesday, June 1st at Marabou Spa in Plymouth. You can register online at marshallwealth.com. You can also register over the phone at 857-342-1030. Now, I did say it was going to be on Wednesday, June 1st, which I have said a couple of times, but I think is worth repeating. There are two workshops the very same day on the very same place.
That's right.
So if you can't make an 11 a.m. workshop, you can make a 6 p.m. workshop, hopefully.
Hopefully, because those workshops will be filled with information and educational materials.
And you're also going to talk a little bit about Social Security. You know, I was reading recently that we might be in for another raise in Social Security down the road.
They gave us 5.9 last year, which was significantly more than typically. But with the cost of living going up the way it is, inflation, we just got the inflation numbers, by the way, down from the 8.5, only 8.1.
Yeah.
So they're just off of the highs.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
inflation continues to rear its ugly head.
Oh, does it
Everything
ever.
Is so expensive.
Oh, is it ever? Especially every time you pull into a gas station and you realize that yesterday it was 25 cents cheaper.
$4.65 a gallon.
Yeah, it's the average. And thank goodness you and I are not driving a diesel truck or a diesel automobile for
I would
matter.
Sell it.
Oh, yeah.
The diesel prices are out of control.
Yeah, and that's going to inflate things down the road for the goods that from the stores that are having.
Think about all the trucks that distribute the goods. They're
exactly.
all diesel.
Exactly. You're listening to Marshall Wealth Radio. He's Mike Marshall. I'm Rod Fritz. Again, a reminder, contact him at 857-342-1030 or online at marshallwealth.com. Join us again next week on Marshall Wealth Radio right here, WRKO.
The views and opinions expressed herein are those of the participants of the show and may or may not represent the views of Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment. The material presented is provided for informational purposes only. All investments are subject to risk, including the risk of principal loss. Advisory services offered through Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment, registered investment advisors. Securities offered through Lincoln Investment, broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, www.lincolninvestment.com. Marshall Wealth Management and the above firm are independent and not affiliated. Insurance, legal, tax, or Social Security claiming services are not offered through or supervised by the Lincoln Investment Companies. WRKO and Rod Fritz are not affiliated with Lincoln Investment or Capital Analysts.
The S&P 500 Index is an index of 500 of the largest exchange-traded stocks in the U.S. from a broad range of industries whose collective performance mirrors the overall stock market. Investors cannot invest directly in an index. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.